Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature an interview with Lou DiGregorio, the founder and president of Shark Trap Gaming and Security Systems, about his new shufflers, which he promises will revolutionize table games. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. After more than 5 years working on perfecting a new generation of shufflers, Lou DiGregorio arrived at G2E in October, ready to give its product the official debut. The Shark Trap Shuffler improves game security, reduces card costs, and increases efficiency. The shufflers also have the ability to provide casino executives with a vast array of data on players and dealers. Developed in conjunction with the engineering department at UNLV, DiGregorio says the initial response to his device has been outstanding. DiGregorio and his son Dino spoke with me at G2E in October. Lou DiGregorio, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Here we are at G2E. You're going to debut your new line of shufflers tomorrow and when the show floor opens, and it's great to have you here.
Thank you very much, Roger. I'm also here with my son Dino, who is very instrumental in the company, along with some consultants that we have to get us to the point where we are for tomorrow for game time, as I would say. This is a project that we've been working on. December will actually be 4 years. So it's not something that we just had an idea to come up with in the last year or six months.
Well, explain, give us some of your background so people understand where you're coming from and how you know the industry so well.
My background is obviously, if you don't know, I'm born and raised in Las Vegas. My father is from Sicily, migrated to Las Vegas in the early 40s because of playing baseball. He was very close with the Piccoli family, who bought a professional baseball team called the Las Vegas Wranglers. In 1946, they debuted in Las Vegas. My mother was a cocktail waitress when the original Flamingo opened. So we do have a lot of roots in Las Vegas.
That's true. If she knew Bugsy, that's a pretty deep roots right there.
She met a lot of people in those days. Howard Hughes was a big player in those days. Interesting time.
Sure, no question. Well, let's talk about, you have a lot of background in the table game side of the business. What's the state of table games now in the industry, both from a technology standpoint and from a growth standpoint?
Okay, from a technology standpoint, it's going through the roof because the technology side for everything, and whether it's live table games, slot machines, millennial gaming, whatever it is going through the roof, and everybody's trying to come up with the next best mousetrap or whatever the next technology is. Dino's been heavily involved with what we're doing as far as from an IT side, a software side, contact image sensors, and these are all parts of what we want to do with the product that we're gonna launch. I see table games in two ways. You have about three or four companies today that are obviously going to dominate it. The market's pretty split between those three or four companies. All of them, Roger, are trying to come up with the next best idea, whatever it is in table games. But they get a little divided because of the millennial side now and how to attract these kids that are in their, let's say, early 30s, that got a lot of cash, they got a bankroll.
Right.
But how do you entertain them inside the casino?
Even the younger kids have now gravitated to table games opposed to slots, which has surprised a lot of us since they grew up on video games, but they love table games.
It's really important the way you say that to me, because I see blackjack is very popular today. Roulette becoming very popular with younger kids today. The game of craps, what a lot of people would have said to you 5 or 6 years ago, it's going to die out because everybody that was in the Navy or the Army in the 50s and 60s, Vietnam, they're all dead. But these games are popular, and kids today, because of technology, they want to play, and they think they're smarter than the game or the house edge, and they think they can beat it. Mm-hmm.
And the social interaction part as well,
of
right?
Course.
So it's more social than standing in front of a slot machine.
Right, right. They like playing with their friends.
Yeah,
they like to they congratulate each other when they win, that
exactly.
kind of thing.
High five, this, that.
Right, right, so. No question, right. So tell us how you came up with this next generation of shufflers.
Well, it's twofold, Roger. I started a company in the late 80s called DP Stud, and I bought the patent rights for Caribbean Stud Poker.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, when Caribbean Stud Poker came out, John Breeding was coming out with the product through Shuffle Master.
Right.
John Breeding, through a couple of his employees, came to me and they said, look, we're having a tough time getting acceptance from the operators with the shuffle machine. Would you mind if we came behind you, or would you tell us who's going to put Caribbean Stud Poker in, and we would like to come to them and offer them a shuffler that would shuffle 52 cards, push it out for the dealer, and here you go. I said, obviously, to everybody there, I got no larceny in me. I said, I'll give you the list of everybody I talked to.
Mm-hmm.
We put 156 games in the state of Nevada, and they went behind us, and they put 156 shufflers out. They were in the shuffler business. In the next 15 years, two companies outside the United States came to me. One was a company out of Australia, and one was a company out of Austria. Both of them had shufflers to compete with the company that has the majority of the business today. And I signed an agreement with both of them, not at the same time,
right.
Within about a five-year period, that I would distribute their shufflers for. Well, once I would get 400, 300, 200, whatever the number was out, Shuffle Master, as a business deal, which anybody would do, they came and they would buy that company.
Sure.
And they would just take that product and put it over here. When I put the 1-6 out in a few properties on the strip, the company from Austria, they came and bought it out, but they used that shuffler, and they still have it today here in multiple casinos on the strip. So I've been involved with shufflers for a long time. I have a little passion for it because I understand it was a big game changer in live gaming. So like 3 or 4 years ago when we started talking about, let's, you know, figure out, A, how to come up with patents that doesn't infringe on anybody.
Right. And that's always
let's
big
everybody
issue.
Be real
that's
cool
huge,
here.
Huge issue, yeah.
Huge issue. Everybody be real cool here. We have a very good large law firm that we've engaged with. And this is where the real story starts, right?
Okay.
And this is the sexy part of our story. We had filed for some patents, but we didn't know exactly how the mechanism was going to work. Mm-hmm. We knew what the patent said.
Right.
And one day, I see on TV that at UNLV, these engineering kids make a bionic hand for a little girl that's born without a hand, and they make this hand for me. I call him up. I look at my wife. I said, this is the people we got to be with.
Right.
We head down to the head of engineering down there at UNLV, and we said, we're interested in talking with you guys about developing a shuffler. It's gaming industry. It's right in our backyard. This would be a great story. Have you guys done anything like that? No, we've never had to deal with a shuffler. So we had to sort of speed them up a little bit. They were interested in coming on and being a part of it and helping us achieve what we were trying to achieve. So we took about a year and a half almost, developing the, let's call it the methodology that everybody's going to see at the show this year. How we approach shuffling the cards, which is very different from how a lot of other companies approach shuffling the cards. And they did a fantastic job. we took that little nest, little egg that we had from UNLV, and we took it to an engineering firm, big-time engineering firm here in the States, and we said, we need this, but now we need a production unit.
Right.
We need a professional.
Yeah. And so obviously it doesn't violate the patent of any of your competitors.
No, no.
It's
in fact,
a whole different method.
I host a very large party. I call it the pre-G2E party on Sunday before the show. I had about 70 customers last night at my house, our patent attorney and everybody. We discussed with the patent side, Dino did, that, you know, we're going to expose ourselves now at the show. And he says, it really doesn't matter, Lou, because your patent's published. Anybody can go see what you have.
Right.
You might as well show everybody what
you're
going
right.
to do. But the part that's interesting from my side, Roger, is this, and I know that you'll understand this. It's a sexy story.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed, and the concept is from UNLV in Las Vegas.
Right.
The product is going to be made in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about local guys in Las Vegas coming up with a concept that nobody's tried to achieve. I don't know why. I think people were intimidated, maybe, scared. I don't know what the right answer is.
Right.
We got four Italian kids involved with this company,
mm-hmm.
two consultants. Dino and I own the company. But when we started getting on this and we started watching how this is going to go and how it's going to come up and how it's going to blossom as far as how it's going to look and the size, it's got a lot of sex appeal to it.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing about having UNLV involved, we knew if we were going to go get a shuffler designed and engineered, if we said, hey, listen, who wants to design a shuffler? We're going to get what's in the market today. We go to UNLV, they have no preconceived
right,
notions
exactly,
of what a shuffler's
right.
supposed
yeah.
to do, act, walk, talk. Mm-hmm. And that's how we got what we got.
That,
right,
that makes so. Sense. Yeah. So you call it the Super Shuffler. What?
Well, it's two phases, Roger,
okay.
which is, this is very important. We don't want anyone to think of a preconception of what they're going to see this week at the show. This week at the show, everybody is going to see a single-deck shuffler for blackjack, which could be a double-deck, single-deck,
mm-hmm.
could be multi-deck. You're going to see a poker shuffler, and you're going to see a novelty game shuffler for, let's say, three-card poker,
mm-hmm.
four-card, whatever the games are. So you're going to have three different types of shufflers there, but probably the biggest thing that will get everybody's attention is the size of the product. The two things we wanted to do with UNLV was convince these kids that we don't want to have a lot of moving parts
mm-hmm.
and a lot of mechanical issues right. down the road as far as maintenance.
Sure, right.
So this actual shuffler that everybody will see, very, very small. You could actually put it in the palm of your hand, correct?
Yeah. You could throw it like a football across the room. That's
yeah.
about
yeah.
the size of
so tabletop.
Is it like the size of an eight-deck shoe or something like that? A little bigger?
Smaller.
It's smaller.
Really?
But along the same sort of that length, right?
Right? Okay.
But smaller, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, the size I can tell you right now,
to
right?
give everybody a visual, yeah. That's
yeah.
how you need to look at.
The size is 10.5 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5.5 inches wide and 4.25 inches tall. So
okay.
this is, now that I understand that you've dealt blackjack,
right.
this is going to be very similar to a dealer walking up to, let's say, the old days with a dealing shoe, and you could walk up and you could move the shoe, you know, you need it closer,
right.
or you're
sure.
taller, you want it this way.
This
shuffler,
right.
this shuffler, you're going to be able to do the same
okay.
thing. It's just going to spit the cards out.
Okay,
and you're going to be able to deal.
Yeah,
so
I always
have
to adjust
it.
When
the table
I
for it. You're not have to
yeah.
put it on the table. It goes right on top
but,
of the table.
And also part of our patents, Roger, that are very important for us is hole carding today is a very, very big problem.
Right.
I don't know how
I
much
do.
You know,
yeah.
but there's some people that do know.
Sure.
So in our patent and the way we deal our cards for novelty games.
Mm-hmm.
They're not dealt in the back where somebody picks them up and they go here or they go here. They're dealt right to the layout.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pick the cards up. You slide them to first base. You slide them to second base.
Mm-hmm.
So we've eliminated hole carding 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I think for an operator, pretty important.
Yeah, yeah, no question. That's always an issue. Now, are you able to combat the edge sorting type of thing as well?
Okay, so we're going to demonstrate at the show, and Dino will be the one that'll demonstrate it. But nobody in the country or the world has seen a patent that we've applied for that we call the ODD system.
Mm-hmm.
So this system basically, without sensors, really without cameras, is going to be able to prove to everybody, and I don't want to bring the names up as far as what's happened with edge sorting and the baccarat,
sure.
And everybody understands.
Everybody knows.
But we're going to be able to demonstrate tomorrow that if you take the 6, 7s, and 8s and you turn them one way, and you take all the high cards, which is a zero value, and you turn them one way, and every time they go through the shuffler, you're going to have access to a screen, whether it's in the eye of the sky or whether it's in your office. And it'll say, well, right now, 45% of the cards are in these directions, which it could be natural.
Sure, right.
But the next time they go through the shuffler, you're going to say,
something up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could be in the 60%. And the next time they go through the shuffler, you're going to say, my phone is blowing up and saying, I need to go to that particular table game
right.
and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Because scientifically, this can't happen by chance.
Right.
So
right.
That's what
the
our super shufflers are doing. They're
okay.
saying, hey, it's not, and we've had some questions about false positives and things like that. When you guys get notified on the casino level, mm-hmm. when they get notified, the shuffler, it's there's a scam going on.
Okay.
Something's going on.
And this is where the networking of all the shufflers comes into effect.
Right. It's very important. And the reason that we want to be able to do the networking is for data and analysis today, Roger. You've been around all the big casinos today. Everybody's analytical. They got young kids from MIT, from all these big colleges. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They want information.
Right.
Now, remember, it's very important. So let's say if we had Casino A, that let's say 100 table games, and nothing happens to the cards. Maybe you get a coffee stain on the back of a deuce, or you get a coffee stain on the back of a card that doesn't mean everything. All that data that we capture will be thrown away. There's no reason to retain it.
Right.
But the data that says in a blackjack game, all your high cards, or some of your high cards, the first time we shuffled them, they do have something on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time they get shuffled, there's more high cards. And then the next time you shuffle them, your phone's going to blow up
right.
going, you really need to go over there because
right.
you do have something going on. Whether it's an inside
mm-hmm. sure.
or an outside.
Right.
They both happen today.
So
it's going to give you a tool that you never had before.
Do your shufflers work even if the players can touch the cards?
Of course.
So
the other feature to the fact that they're networked is you're casino manager at Casino A, and I'm casino manager at Casino B under the same corporate umbrella.
Right.
The same scam may be happening
sure.
at the same time
mm-hmm.
in my spot and in your spot. There's no way for us to know that today.
Right. Right.
Our shufflers are going to tell you because
okay.
the same corporate umbrella has those shufflers.
So if they daub the cards or mark it with their nails or whatever,
it'll
pick that up.
All of that we've got completely solved.
Great. So I'm hearing that your products are going to be more efficient. They're going to create more revenue because they're going to combat any of these cheating things, and it's also going to save money for the casinos because of the pricing of the.
It's not so much, Roger, about the pricing. Our pricing will be close to par, whatever par is today.
Competitive.
We're going to be very competitive. And I could jump out tomorrow at the show and say I'm going to be $100 a month cheaper.
Right.
That's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
The point is a couple key features that I think will get everybody's attention mm-hmm. in the next 3 days. So we do right now have sensors in our shufflers
right.
that say when you drop a deck of cards in there, and it's a single deck, or let's say a double deck game, very popular today in North
right.
America. double deck game. Today they're going to change them every 2 hours.
Right.
That's the way my dad did it.
Sure.
That's right. The way I do it. Our shuffler is going to say to you, Roger, with the light on it, on the back, if it stays green, there's no scientific reason why you should change those cards.
Right.
You should leave them in and play them. Mm-hmm. There's nothing on the backs. There's nothing on the side. Nobody's bending them.
Mm-hmm.
The cards haven't swollen up.
Right.
They're still in great condition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that said, if I was to go to a big casino corporation today and said, two things. A, you can use your cards longer, which is going to get everybody's attention.
Sure.
But our shufflers, too, are going to be what we call, in some forms of games, no batch. No batch meaning you don't need 8 decks in red and you don't need 8 decks in blue.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way the shufflers work and the speed of them, you can take just 8 decks instead of 16 decks when you open a game.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute you come from the discard holder back to the shuffler, in about 20 seconds,
yeah,
you're ready to start the next deal. Nobody's done this.
Yeah.
This will get a lot of operators' attention because they all want to save the price of the cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know all of these people,
sure,
I'm
right,
talking.
Right.
But when you speed the games up by 60-70%
mm-hmm,
in time and motion or butts in the seats, now you make a lot more money for the operators that they're losing now.
Okay. So how does this compare to a continuous
shuffler? Well, for our multi-deck shuffler, it's exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it into a mode that you can have a deal continuous. You mm-hmm pick up the card. Let's say you take 4 hands, go in the discard holder, you pick them up, you put them in there, it'll go right back and it'll start dealing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do, like, let's just say, a multi-deck, 6-deck game.
Right.
You take the cards out of the discard holder. You don't have to put them down and have them
right
go through a shuffle and
mm-hmm
come. You put them back into the shuffler, which, by the way, now this is very important, and no one has ever seen this. Not only are all of our shufflers set on top of the table, you don't cut back or you don't have a
right
box off the back.
Take your eyes off
these,
the layout.
These are tabletop shufflers. But realize what it would be, Roger. Let's say you have a 6-deck, multi-deck game, which is popular today.
Right.
And you go from the discard holder right back into the dealing shoe, and you start dealing again.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of time that you save it's incredible.
Right.
Now, and I would like you to do this if you will. We've just uploaded on our website
mm-hmm
some new information. We have a
you go to sharktrap.com.
Okay.
On the page there's a little button that says updates.
Mm-hmm.
It's a productivity analysis that we went to a third party and we said, here's the competition. Here's what we're doing with our shufflers.
Right.
We want you to do sort of a side-by-side study because we want to be able to come out and say we're more efficient. We
right
can save on card costs,
sure,
and things like that. It's about a 5-page document, white page. Go there. Go to the website, sharktrap.com, mm-hmm, updates. Check it out, and you can see exactly how we can against the competition,
sure,
and why we're making some of the claims that we do.
Okay.
Now, what's interesting about this document, in layman's terms,
right,
my son is analytical, I'm not, obviously. In the document, in layman's terms, is this, Roger. If you have anybody else's shuffler out there, and I don't care, there's other shufflers out there. I mean, they're there. It's the equivalent of having your casino open 11 months.
Okay.
When we come out with the Shark Trap Shuffler,
mm-hmm,
it's the equivalent of being open 12 months.
Okay.
Now, when this is layman terms,
sure,
but it's serious.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you're also claiming that the cards are shuffled in a more random manner.
All we do differently, Roger, I'm not claiming.
I don't want to get too technical here.
This is very important
yeah
in our patents.
Right.
We are going to be the first company with patent protection that will randomly select one card at a time. Mm-hmm. So that means you have 50, let's just use 52 cards.
Sure.
Wherever the stepper motor says you want to pick out, let's mm-hmm. say card 7, it's going to get 17, it's going to drop it. Then it's going to size the deck up, then it's going to get 32, and it's going to drop it. And that's really very simple.
Yeah.
But the other key, Roger, is that it's one fluid motion with our shuffler,
yeah.
right? So we pick the card and it goes to our discard, you know, where we've shuffled, sure. you know, a post-shuffle bin, whereas some of the competition, right, there's a secondary electromechanical motion that needs to happen, which just takes time,
right?
At the end of the day, just side by side, it takes time to do that. So that's why we're so confident that we take a more efficient approach. And with the technology side, we can eliminate some of the processes like killing the deck,
right.
things like that, that they take
washing
time.
Ultimately,
those take up time.
Sure.
And when we say you're open 11 months out of the year,
right.
you got to kill the deck and you got to wash the cards. We're saying you don't have to. If you want to, you know, man, you
sure.
can do that,
yeah.
right? We feel you don't need to do that with mm-hmm. our technology.
It's going
to
be a little bit of an education process for the
operators.
So, you know, you talked about blackjack, poker, novelty games. Obviously, one of the biggest earning games in the industry is baccarat, and especially, you know, when you look at the Asian casinos. How does your shuffler work in the baccarat game?
We haven't shown anyone yet. We will show this on a video loop tomorrow at the show. But we've come up with a concept, Roger, that literally will blow every operator's mind because of the speed. Mm-hmm. What it's going to do, and rather than me try to describe it for you, I'd like for you to come one day to the booth and let Dino and you sit down and we'll show you the video loop on what we've done. And this was designed with our concept mm-hmm. at UNLV. And basically what it does is it takes the traditional game. And I don't care if you're using pre-shuffled cards where, you know, a lot of people have pre-shuffled cards, but they run them through a different type of a shuffler in the background.
Sure.
They bring them out, here they go, and you don't have to do that with our shuffler. It's very intriguing, but what I would say to you, it's going to save you in shuffle time and real time between 4 and 6 minutes. So if you take 4 and 6 minutes, if you have a company that has 1,000 baccarat games, which there are a few all of a sudden, and you take that time frame.
It's a big number at the end of the
day. Very, very intriguing.
Absolutely, yeah.
I really would love for you to come see it. Dina would show it to you. We have videos.
And anybody that comes by the booth, we have a video demoing that concept that was just explained.
Sure.
Right? So and we've got it. We can explain it to you. We can show you how we go about doing it. But again, everything that revolves around our shufflers and what we do is taking, in our opinion, a more efficient approach to shuffling cards.
Okay, great.
One other thing, Roger, I would like to bring up because I think it's important. When we first approached UNLV and we talked about the bionic arm or hand that they made, I said to the president of the university, I said, who funds this? How do you guys get money? Well, we get grants, you know, we got donors and this. And I said, look, here's what I'd like to do for you. I want to meet these two kids, and I want to make you a partner. Mm-hmm. The guy looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm going to give you a percentage of my company. He says, no one's ever done that with us. I says, well, Dino's going to get the paperwork ready for it. It shocked them.
Yeah.
They were like, we like this.
Yeah.
And one other thing we did that's very important, Roger. We put everybody at UNLV that was involved in this on our patents for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They got a piece. They're
yeah,
involved.
Sure.
UNLV's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives them credentials where they can say down their road, whatever job they go to,
right.
you know, when they leave UNLV,
right.
oh, I'm on a patent here. I made this great shuffler.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them a lot of credit.
Sure, no question about it. So you're showing at the show in the next 3 days. When is it going to be available for purchase? I guess your first product and
yeah,
then subsequent.
You know, right now we're second quarter 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Our you know, our big question for us internally is how many people want double decks and how many double decks?
Sure, right.
How many people want novelty game shuffler? How many people want a poker shuffler? That's what we've got to go through here in the next month and a half to be able to gear up with the engineers to say, you know, make 1,200 of those, make, you know, 1,000 of those, make 4. Right now, I mean, just, you know, to be very upfront and truthful with you, we've secured an order now for about 1,120 shufflers in the last month, month and a half. Dino's handling the marketing side with Penny Martin with Hulu Communications, and we got a lot of people who are interested.
Yeah, great.
You know, it really comes down to Roger. It's not about me or Dino or Shark Trap. I think it really is about everybody kind of wants another option.
Right.
And I've said to four or five people that I know will be at G2E with shufflers, I've said to all of them, I said, look, I hope you guys get some orders, and I hope you put some shufflers out there, and I hope you're successful. But come the end of 2018, early 19, when we come with super shufflers that does all the technology, everybody's shuffler is going to be outdated.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bold statement, but I'm very confident.
Great, great. Well, we want to stay in touch with you, follow up, you know, as they go out into the field, how they're performing. So let's do that, and I'll come by your booth at the show here to get a more detailed look at what you're producing.
Right on.
Great.
Thank you.
Excited.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the GGB Podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. To learn more about the gaming industry, visit GGBMagazine.com, or for a weekly update, visit GGBNews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, or on LinkedIn and Facebook at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.